presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Gault, aggressive young attorney, he skirts the thin edge of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Gault, uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. Now in Philip Gault's oak-paneled law office, we find him at the telephone speaking in the voice of the Whisperer, making his report to a superior in the syndicate in New York.
Hello, New York. Jordan given instructions. Will advise later.
Aha!
Aha yourself. What's in that pretty head of yours?
Brain. I just figured out something.
Now what?
Well, under ordinary circumstances, when you give out with that horrible voice of your alter egos, you instruct someone to kill someone else.
And?
And then you have to break your neck to stop the killing you started in the first place.
In the second place, sweetheart, the syndicate starts it.
Well, anyway, our whole evening is ruined.
Okay, so...
So, tonight I notice you didn't give instructions to have anybody killed. Ergo, that means you don't have to involve yourself in that horrible syndicate business. And you can devote your full attention to... Turn attention to me.
But, Ellen...
Yes?
It'll be a pleasure.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, you agree with me.
Well, don't I always?
Well, you've got that backwards. It's not don't you always. It's you always don't.
You know what I was thinking?
Should I know?
A place where we can have a nice, leisurely dinner. Look soulfully into each other's eyes over coffee with soft music in the background.
Mm.
And then emerge into the evening in search of entertainment.
Honest, Phil? No syndicate business at all?
Well, nothing pressing.
Phil.
Now relax, sweetheart. You won't be able to digest your food properly if you don't.
It's been so long. So long.
Since we had an evening like this?
Uh-huh. Every second I think something's going to come along and spoil it.
Nothing can. Only, this thing tonight with Jordan... Why would the syndicate be interested in buying out a fighter's contract?
I don't know, and I don't want to think about it. Look at that woman's hat over there.
Lovely. Of course, it's the fight game, and fighting's been a source of income for gamblers, touts, and fixers almost since boxing took up the Marquess of Queensberry rules.
It isn't lovely. It's monstrous.
What is?
That hat. You haven't been listening to me.
Every word. Now, as soon as you put away that lipstick, we can sally forth and find us some entertainment.
Any idea what kind? There's a show at the Circle that got wonderful reviews.
As a matter of fact, I have an idea.
Wonderful, darling. Don't tell me. That'll be a surprise.
This last round may have a knockout in it because Sullivan's knees are buckling. And there it comes, a hard left to the middle, an uppercut that snaps over the head. All this battling, Abby, is dynamite. Sullivan is groggy, his eyes are glassy, and I think, yes, the referee is stopping the fight. It's a TKO for battling Abby.
I was looking for a surprise.
It is entertainment, sweetheart. This kid Noonan is an up-and-coming youngster.
Well, I thought you liked the fight.
So do you, if it fits in with your plans.
I didn't have any plans. Now, you sit tight. This won't take but 5 minutes.
What won't? Phil Gault, where are you going?
Back to the dressing rooms. I want to speak to Kid Noonan's manager.
Oh.
And I don't want you pushing so much tonight. This boy is a counterboxer. He doesn't leave. He waits for you to open up in any counters. Yeah, what is it?
My name is Gault. I'd like to talk to you, Corky.
No, not now. What kind of brains you got, Gault? The kid's going out there in a few minutes.
Sorry, I didn't know you were giving him last-minute instructions.
Well, I'm all through with him anyway. Keep those muscles rippling. Over here, Gault. We can talk for a couple minutes anyway.
Okay. Nice boy.
Yeah, he's coming. Coming. Not up there yet, but a comer. If I can get him fights.
Yeah? Why can't you?
Gangsters are trying to take over the fight game, Sonny. Lay down, kid. Relax. Relax.
Gangsters?
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with your face looking like it had an argument with a buzzsaw?
You're not so dumb, Gault.
Oh. But I don't understand why anybody beat you up.
Well, better you don't understand. Look, what can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if Kid Noonan's up for sale.
You too.
Me too what?
Wanting to buy the kid.
Oh. Who else wanted to buy him?
A guy who wouldn't take no for an answer and then gave me this going over.
But it was still no?
Yeah, to him and to you. The kid is my boy and I'm keeping him. If I can figure a way to get him some fights.
You don't know this gangster?
No.
He called himself by some name, didn't he?
Smitty. That tell you anything? You're like a fighter with both eyes closed, in there swinging against the champ. This Smitty said he was representing someone else. A certain group is the way he put it. But I know who that certain group is.
These gangsters?
The syndicate, Sonny. They've been trying to buy their way into the fight game for months.
Oh, to rig the betting, things like that?
You're getting the idea. Control. Who wins what fight? Who gets the big build-up for champ?
And they're forcing you to sell by making it tough for you to get fights.
Sure, if I can't get fights for my boy, what good is he to me? I might as well sell him.
How do they go about keeping you from getting matches?
Look, getting the right fights arranged for your boy ain't easy in the first place. You gotta pick your spots. See that he comes along gradually, doesn't get in over his head. But my boy happens to have a good right hand, and a lot of fighters don't want to get in the ring with him.
But you just said...
That's just part of it, Sonny. To get a match, I gotta go through a promoter. Somebody who hires the hall, arranges for the promotion, selling tickets, publicity. Well, I'm having trouble with the promoters lately, too.
You mean the promoters are playing along with this syndicate you mentioned?
Maybe playing along, maybe being forced to play along.
Have you taken this up with the boxing commissioner?
Now, what's the use? What are they going to do about it? Look, I got to take my boy out there now. This may be his last fight for a long time.
Suppose I take it up with the boxing commission.
You? Go ahead. Fella by the name of Jordan's your best bet.
Jordan?
Yeah, you know.
I might. And I might, as a lawyer, be able to get Kid Noonan some fights.
Well, you can try. I'll give you a list of the boys I'd like to match him with. If you do.
If I do?
I'll buy your tickets to the kid's fights for the next 10 years.
What a sweetheart of a fighter. The dynamite in his right hand. And Leslie Johnson's got a lot of respect for it. There's the end of the first round, folks. Here's a word about Whetstone.
Nice shoulders on Kid Noonan.
Seems to have a lot of promise, doesn't he?
He can promise me something any old time.
You know, it'd be a shame if his future in boxing were suddenly cut off, wouldn't it?
You mean the syndicate?
The kid's in the middle, like between the frying pan and the fire.
Why?
Because if Corky won't sell his contract, the kid won't be able to get any fights. And if the syndicate does buy them, it'll be for their own purposes. Fixed fights, phonies, gambling coups. Nice, huh?
Well, what can you do about it, sir?
I can stick my nose in and smell around anyway. Now, here comes the second round.
It's the second round. They come out of their corners and meet in the center. Oh, brother! Kid Noonan is going to pull around this time. There's a slashing left. Now that right crosses over. Left is on the rope. Hanging on. Now, it's a cinch now. He's got all the time in the world. Here it is. Leslie Johnson's down. A short right. It didn't travel in this. As we pick up the count, it's 6, 7, 8, 9, and out.
Let's go, Alan. I want to see someone.
Syndicate business.
No, my own. I want to find out about a man named Jordan who's on the boxing commission and how the syndicate goes about keeping Kid Noonan from getting fights. Alan. This fellow Jordan I called up when I used the Whisperer's voice to give instructions.
What about him?
Corky Ballou told me the man to see on the boxing commission is named Jordan, too.
Oh? The same one?
Could be. I don't know. Press in that cigarette lighter, will you, sweetheart?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what?
It'll set off another one of your gadgets.
No, I just want a cigarette. Hey, here, take one out of my jacket pocket and light it for me, will you?
All right.
No.
What?
Not that case. Put it back. There's an open package of cigarettes in my pocket.
What's the matter with the case?
Ellen.
What?
Don't press that catch. The case is loaded.
Loaded? With what?
Enough explosive to blow this car to kingdom come. Now put it back in my pocket.
Bill Galt, is this another gadget of yours?
A kind of deadly gadget, Ellen. Now just slip it back. Easy. That's fine. Thanks.
What do you expect to do with it?
You can never tell when a situation will come up that demands a little subtlety.
Subtlety? For the miniature atom bomb in your pocket? Here, a cigarette.
Thanks.
Deliver me from a slap-happy gadgeteer.
I'll deliver you right to our destination. And here we are. And please don't divert Mr. Jordan's attention while I'm talking to him.
Divert his attention?
By being so ravishing.
Mm-hmm. sir. And you, Miss Norris. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure for me just to look at such a beautiful home, Mr. Jordan.
Thank you.
So being a boxing commissioner must be a good job.
Oh, no, Miss Norris. It's an honorary job. No fee involved at all. I've been lucky in life, Miss Norris.
Oh? You picked the right father? Lester, this beautiful house?
Mr. Gall, she's priceless.
And that's what I keep telling her. I can't pay her what she's worth.
Now tell me, will you have a drink? Scotch? Bourbon?
No, thanks.
Not for me.
Well, I'm going to mix one for myself, if you'll excuse me.
Certainly.
Well?
It's him.
Steve Jordan?
I recognize his voice. The one I spoke to on the phone.
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Gault?
Well, frankly, Mr. Jordan, I'm here on serious business. Business that you might not like. I'm an attorney.
Oh?
I have a client who thinks he's being damaged.
Well, have I damaged him?
Indirectly, perhaps. That's what I'm here to find out. My client's name is Corky Ballou.
Oh, the fight manager. Yes, he manages a boy called
Kid Noonan.
Yes, Kid Noonan, a good fighter, likely to go places.
That's just it, Mr. Jordan. He's not likely to go places at all. Corky can't get a fight for him.
No?
This one tonight was the last he could arrange.
Well, that's odd. The other fighter's afraid of him?
Perhaps. And perhaps it's that no promoter wants to arrange a fight for him. Mr. Jordan, I think it's possible I may be able to find some kind of monopolistic policy which the courts would frown on.
Well, that's an odd thought.
Well, I don't know why it's odd. There are monopolies in commerce and industry. Why can't there be monopolies in boxing?
Well, I'm not a lawyer.
I am. I wanted to ask you why Kid Noonan can't get any fights in this town.
Well, frankly, Mr. Gault, I don't know.
I see.
However, I'll look into it if I may.
Certainly.
And I'll call you in the morning, Mr. Gault. Good evening, Miss Norris.
Goodbye.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Still, I don't believe it.
Believe what?
That Mr. Jordan is mixed up in any way with the syndicate.
He's the Jordan I gave instructions to. He's the one who told someone by the name of Smitty to buy Kid Noonan's contract from Corky Ballou. And when Corky wouldn't sell, Smitty gave him a terrible beating.
Smitty? He must be one of the syndicate's hired killers from out of town.
Uh-huh. Sent here to work on this job with Jordan.
But Mr. Jordan is so cultured, so refined.
Yes. Come on in with me.
Where? This drugstore?
Yeah. I want to make a phone call to New York. Ellen.
It's about time you got through. I
think you can sit in here with me.
Why, Phil Gault. I'd love to try. What is it?
I just got my instructions from New York. I want you to hear me pass them on. Nice, refined Mr. Jordan. That's how much you can take a woman's intuition.
Hello? Jordan. Yes. New instructions. Corky Ballou will be at his training camp at Rosedale Lake tomorrow.
Rosedale Lake tomorrow. Instructions?
You will see to.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Gault, who skirts the thin edges of danger, living his dual role. After failing in their plan to buy Kid Noonan's contract from his manager, Corky Ballou, the syndicate has instructed The Whisperer to pass on the orders for Corky's death. Now, Philip Gault, alias The Whisperer, must prevent this murder and still retain the secret of his double identity.
Come in for a minute, Phil.
Thanks.
And so quiet all the way here.
Well, I've been quiet. I've been thinking, Ellen.
I can see where that would take up your whole attention.
But seriously, we're in it now.
Really? You're the one who always puts us in it, passing along those horrible instructions.
Mm-hmm. And I'm right back at the starting point. Jordan will tell this Smitty to kill Corky Ballou. But who is Smitty? What does he look like?
It's always the same, Phil.
Yes, but in this case, we've got a lead.
Rosedale Lake.
That's right. Training camp for Corky's fighters. He'll probably get back there late tonight or early tomorrow. And Jordan will have passed on his information to Smitty. It's too bad you have to work tomorrow.
Who said I have to? Dr. Lee's in Philadelphia. A medical convention. And the office is closed for 2 whole days.
Oh. Well, it's a long, grueling trip and...
And I love a trip. And Phil...
Huh?
Jordan is slimy. I don't just plain old hate him. I loathe him.
I know what you mean. But don't let your emotions carry you away.
Something I wish would happen to you.
What?
Here you take me out for an evening, drive me home. I invite you in, and what do? Make love to me? Tell me what your emotions are doing to you? No.
Come here.
No, thanks.
Come here.
No.
I said come here.
Well, if you put it like that.
The syndicate works in many ways, and this was a new one even to Phil Gault, alias the Whisperer. With their ramified network operating at top efficiency, they are trying to gain control of a large block of the fighting interests throughout the nation, with one tentacle of the giant octopus reaching into Central City. After Phil had said goodnight to Ellen, he drove back to his apartment, trying to figure out how he could put a stop to the syndicate's plans. Towards morning, he fell into a restless sleep, and...
Hello.
Hello, Gault.
It's speaking.
Oh, did I awaken you?
Yes, you did, Jordan. What time is it?
It's that past 8. A good attorney should be out of bed and in his office by this time.
Who said I was good?
I'm leaving on a little trip, Gault, and I've got some information for you. If you'd like to drop by my office.
Sure.
Could you make it about half an hour?
Right.
Matter after all, Gault. There's always an explanation for everything.
You're referring to Kid Noonan?
Yes, that's right. The answer is that there are only 2 or 3 fighters who will take a chance with him in the ring.
Just a moment. I have a list somewhere in my pocket. Corky Ballou gave it to me. Here it is.
Now, may I see it?
Certainly. Those are the fighters Corky'd like to have Kid Noonan fight.
And none of them are available.
Well, I was quick checking you did, Jordan.
Huh? Oh, well, it's my business, Gault. When I undertook to become a member of the commission, I decided I'd do the best job I could for the best interests of boxing.
I wish more of our public servants had that kind of outlook.
Yes. I spoke to 2 promoters this morning. Both of them have a peculiar attitude about Kid Noonan.
Oh, what's that?
They don't want to do business with Corky Ballou.
Any particular reason?
They both said he was difficult to deal with, and they'd just as soon fill their cards with fighters not managed by him.
So there are 2 reasons why Kid Noonan won't be able to get fights. No fighters available, and the promoters won't play with Corky. That's a double squeeze, Jordan.
Well, there you have it, Gault. If Corky wants to fight for the champ...
Corky says the kid's not ready for the champ yet.
Then there's nothing else I can tell you. As you can see, there is no indication of a blackball or, how did you say it, monopolistic practices.
It's a pretty quick whitewash, Jordan. But thanks for the promptness, anyway.
Not at all.
About time you came out.
Ellen, what are you doing here?
And I called you at home. You weren't there. I thought you'd left for Rosedale Lake without me, and I was furious. And then I suspected you'd be calling on Jordan, and I looked up his business address, and, well, here I am.
So I see. Ellen, this is going to be dangerous.
I'm going.
It's getting more and more complicated, and if I don't spot Smitty, I don't know how to stop this thing. But I did make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
No, not to the syndicate. To a friend of yours.
Mine?
Well, he was much more attracted to you than he was to me. Tommy Fell, the reporter. You remember him.
Oh, you're not mixing him up in this thing.
There are 2 problems we have, sweetheart.
Let's get started. It's a long drive.
Okay.
2 problems, you say. I know one, to save Corky Ballou from the city.
That's right. And the second is, what's to become of Kid Noonan? How's he going to get fights? Because even if we succeed in saving Corky, the syndicate doesn't forget. And the syndicate won't give up its plans to get their hands on Kid Noonan's contract.
So you called Tommy Farrell?
Publicity, sweetheart. If the papers make enough noise about a fighter not being allowed to fight, then the syndicate won't press. They can't. The way they operate, it's always got to be undercover.
Well, what's Tommy going to do?
First, he wants to make sure what I told him is the truth. He's flying up to Rosedale Lake this afternoon.
Flying?
Now, one of his pals lends him his helicopter whenever he needs it.
Oh, it's driving, doesn't it?
Well, aren't you enjoying the drive?
Yes, Phil. It's what we're driving toward that I'm not enjoying. Oh, it's beautiful, Phil. Look at the sun sparkle on the water. And the air so clean.
There's the hotel. We'll drive around the back.
There's a boxing ring, Phil.
Punching bags, equipment. Nobody's here, though. Say, how about some lunch in the hotel, and then we'll look up Corky?
Well, maybe he's not here.
He'll be here, sweetheart. The syndicate doesn't make mistakes. They said he'd be here. finished with your lunch?
All finished.
Let's go, then. We'll ask around. Corky's the kind of a guy I think wouldn't pass up lunch.
Tommy! Tommy!
Well, where is he? Oh.
Hi, kids.
Oh, just get in?
Why, don't you look like the cat that ate the canary?
Me?
You?
Here, Barton Canary. It was chicken fricassee. And very good, too. Both happened.
For lunch?
But Phil, I never know if I'll eat dinner at a reasonable hour.
Or if you'll eat at all, from what I can gather. Well, what's the gizmo with Corky Blue? Your things are so urgent, what are you hanging around here for?
Where should I hang around?
His bungalow.
Bungalow? Doesn't he live here in the hotel?
Of course not. Oh, I forgot. You wouldn't know. Me, I've been up here so many times, the woods are like little brothers to me.
We better hurry.
Suppose you hurry, Phil. I'll go down to the lake with Ellen.
Fine. That's what I was going to suggest.
Oh, no. You're not getting away like that, Phil Gault. We're coming along. Besides, Tommy has to show you the way.
Well, then let's go. You didn't see Corky last night, pal? His face was a mess. Good going over because he wouldn't sell the kid. Now I'm afraid the ones who want to buy aren't going to stop with a beating.
The syndicate?
That's right. Ellen, you all right?
Oh, hi.
Aren't we near his place, Val?
Pretty close. They're moving into the boxing racket, huh?
Already moved in.
Yeah, I kind of smell that here and there.
Smell will get worse. The only thing that can help is publicity. Lots of it.
Oh, I'm your boy. Oh, through that brush over there.
That it?
Right. Now, there are a couple of more bungalows farther on, but this is the one Corky uses himself.
I don't see any signs of him.
Yeah, let's go in. We can see if he's around.
All right.
Come in. Come in.
Phil, a gun.
Well, I said come in.
I never thought I'd be able to do it. He took his eyes off me. He didn't know I had a gun. I got it late last night.
Take it easy, Clark.
Yeah, take it easy. What was going on?
Here, sit down.
He was going to take me to the lake and shoot me.
Nice business.
Because I wouldn't sell kid's contract.
Yeah, looks like you tagged another story for me, Gorm.
Yeah. Look, Corky, you haven't got a thing to worry about. Huh? I knew it was coming. That's why I came up here.
How did you know, Gorm?
Huh?
Put up your hands. You, Corky, drop the gun.
So, this was the little trip you mentioned, Jordan.
Yes, that's right. What are you doing here, Gault?
Corky's my client, remember?
Yes. And how did you know what was going to happen?
It wasn't hard to figure, Jordan. Not after the beating Corky took yesterday.
It's beginning to look to me like you knew quite a bit of the deal. Perhaps you were in on the whole thing, Gault.
Oh?
I've been investigating. Someone wanted to buy you out, Corky.
Huh?
Didn't Smitty tell you he was representing someone else?
That's right.
Maybe it was Gault here.
He did say something about...
Now, you see, you never know who you can trust, Corky. Now, wouldn't you say that if the tables were turned and Gault had this gun, he'd shoot all of us?
I don't think so, Jordan.
I seem to remember your face. Who are you?
Tommy Farrell.
Oh, yes, a newspaper man.
A newspaper man who knows a story when he sees it, Jordan. How did you know this gunman here?
I didn't know him.
You knew his name?
Or did I? It must have slipped out.
So you can drop the act, Jordan. We all know what you are and who you work for.
Now, that's a shame, especially for Miss Norris here. I'd really grown quite fond of her. She has an unusual wit. It touches a responsive chord in me. All right, now stand up, Corky.
Sure.
Take your hands out of your pocket, Gault.
I was just going for a cigarette. Do you mind?
Well, you won't need it.
Oh, come now, Jordan. The condemned man is always granted a last request.
Certainly, Mr. Gault. Pass them around, if you like.
Phil.
Of course, sweetheart. One for you, too. The catch on this cigarette case is sometimes hard to release.
Phil, no.
What is it?
That case is... It's explosive. There's enough dynamite in there. Phil, don't press that case.
What's the difference? Dynamite or Jordan's gun? I might just as well press this...
Oh, no!
Here. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Oh, no, I'm still up. Corky.
I shot him.
A good job, too, Corky. He's dead.
That's twice, Phil.
What, sweetheart?
You were going to press that catch and blow us all to smithereens. You were going to, I know.
Of course, sweetheart.
Ah!
You never can tell what a woman will scream at, pal. Let this be a lesson to you.
It was loaded.
With cigarettes?
You tricked me.
Uh-huh.
You knew I'd be frightened.
And... Yes, dear, and raise a commotion in case I needed one. Corky.
I never even shot a gun before today. The police. What'll they do?
Nothing. It was self-defense, Corky.
Oh, I'll call him.
Corky, are you coming into Central City soon?
Tonight.
How about driving my car down for me? I want to find out what a helicopter ride is like.
Well, they won't be able to keep Kid Noonan from getting fights now. Not when every newspaper in the country exposes the syndicate moving in on a boxing game.
That's what I thought. You newspaper men have your points after all.
I always thought so, too.
Yeah, it'll be real nice up here in the clouds, if there are only two of us.
Oh, don't be bashful, fellow. Anything you want to tell me, you can say in front of Ellen.
Getting a little airsick, Dawes? Be glad to drop you off anywhere.
No, feel fine.
I have a spare parachute.
Oh, I wouldn't think of taking a spare, fellow. Suppose Ellen had to get out in summer, right?
Oh, keep it up, boys. It's building your old ego. There's only one thing, Tommy, that makes me stick so close to Phil.
Well, tell me, I'll cultivate it.
His gadget. Like that cigarette case, friend.
That was a psychological gadget, Ellen.
Would that make it a psychological case?
Oh, Ellen, that does it. Ellen, you can use that parachute any time.
The Whisperers, based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as the Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Sidney Miller, Julius Kralbein, Jack Moyles, and Eddie Fields. The Whisperer was written by Jonathan Twice, produced and directed by Bill Tarn, original music by Johnny Duffy. This is Don Rickles inviting you to listen next week to another exciting adventure with... The Silver Jubilee on NBC. Today you'll want to hear the further adventures of the Mary Vanderhoff household as Academy Award winner Walter Brennan appears as Grandpa Vanderhoff on You Can't Take It With You. Later there's Adventure in International Intrigue with Mr. Moto. Then genial Phil Baker comes to the NBC microphone prepared to pay handsomely if you come up with the answer to his all-important $64 question. Hear all three today on NBC.